Therefore, it's important for us to release that energy and let go of it, especially when we're researching and looking into some of the most horrific things that man is capable of doing, which Cherie does very frequently. And I can feel her energy level going down to the negative, and vice versa as well. While we were looking into this whole thing that we talked about last week, my energy level was just dropping completely. So it's important to release it all. So I hope we've been able to help with that. And, you know, I should have gotten Max on the line.
And no, we are not going to talk about Whitney Houston. She's a crack whore who killed herself off a long time ago. And this is going to be used as a distraction, just like Michael Jackson was. And it's going to last for months and months and months. And everybody's going to be all crying and stuff, and everybody's going to forget about what's going on in Syria. Everybody's going to forget about what's going on in Iran right now because Whitney Houston died. And that's what bothers me so much about our society, is that we don't even know what's important anymore. And when something's super duper important, then we ignore it because we don't want to think about that. But we're all for celebrities killing themselves. I mean, we want to hear about that all day long. And so, no, we're not going to cover it, just like we didn't cover the Michael Jackson story.
Well, I remember when we went into Iraq, they put Time and a few other publications side by side with the publications from Europe, and ours was like, you know, some fluffy stuff, like, oh, what's Britney Spears wearing today, or Britney Spears shaves her head off, or whatever the headline was, and everybody else had devastation, war in Iraq, you know, the American government is taking over Iraq. That's the way that they put these blocks up in front of the news to keep you focused on one thing, the distractions, and not focused on the other. But then it's a catch-22 situation, because if you focus on it too much, then you fall into the negativity.
Exactly.
And then you can't live your life happily. And it's something that I've realized, I've talked about this before, I spent a good 2-3 years out of my last relationship focusing on the negative, focusing on the research, and focusing on just the most horrific things, and I didn't get to enjoy those few years. Those years just went to waste. But then I brought that into this relationship. Now I can enjoy Cherie, and I can pull her away too and say, hey, we need to come and enjoy the time that we have together right now, because we never know when the last time is going to be. That's why I always say kiss the one you love, because you never know when the last time is going to be. Especially after my mother passed away, because that came out of nowhere. I mean, I did not imagine at any time when I was a kid, any time that I would lose my mother at 58 years old when she was 58. Never. So you never know. That's why it's always important to do that. But we have Max Egan joining us of thecrowhouse.com. Max, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Cherie. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I was watching that video you sent, and it was absolutely fantastic. I wanted to share it with the audience, first and foremost, but I wanted you to say it in your own words, live, rather than, you know, watching the video, because the video is very, very educational, but there's nothing like hearing it from you directly.
Are you talking about my radio show or the film that I sent you, the film link that I sent you?
Both of them, actually, but I was referring mostly to the radio show.
Yeah, well, the radio show, I mean, it was almost a call to arms. I mean, I labeled it Australia is in crisis and your action is needed, because it really is. Australia is absolutely in a state of crisis at the moment, if you really look at it and look at it from a global perspective. They're bringing body scanners here, they're bringing all the stuff that they've got there, but you know, our government has disarmed us. It's fracking the whole country. It's done some really, really bad stuff. And why I did that radio show is because there's a film that's just been released called Expendable, which exposes the corruption behind the case of a woman who was wrongly imprisoned in Bali for smuggling drugs. Her name is Chappelle Corby. And she always maintained her innocence, but the film that's been released, it not only shows the effort that the government went to withhold information that could have had her freed, but also the efforts that the Australian government and the Australian media and the Australian Federal Police went to ensure that she was found guilty. They absolutely went out of their way to make sure this woman was prosecuted for this drug smuggling, because had they not done so, it would have exposed a drug smuggling ring that's operating through the Australian airports, which the federal Australian Federal Police seem to be heavily involved in. So it would have brought down the entire Australian government and the Australian Federal Police. And this film's been released now, I see it as a gift, because this exposes the criminality of the Australian government for all to see. It's right there for all to see. And then we can really start looking at things. And, okay, these are the guys who are creating legislation which enables them to come onto your property and start things like coal seam gas mining. All the legislation, all the body scanners, all the stuff they're bringing in, they say, oh, we have to do it because we wrote these rules on pieces of paper.
Right.
Well, if you're into a paper-based system, okay, well, we've got some paper here that shows that you were completely full of shit through the whole Chappelle Corby affair, and you made sure that she got jailed, which means that your government is a bunch of criminals, and so all the paper that you've written has been written by a criminal gang, so I think our paper out-trumps your paper. And we, the people of this country, have a great constitution, and it says in the preamble of the constitution that we have the power to hold our government to accountability. But it can only be done by the people. It can only be done by the Australian people if they wake up. Everybody knows of the Chappelle Corby case. It's a very, very famous case. So I see this information as an opportunity to get something into the hands of every Australian that they are already going to know about. They're already going to be able to identify with it because it was an incredibly public case. And this exposes the Australian government. This is the best tool we've ever had to bring these people to accountability and to stop the direction this thing's going in. And I firmly believe, because Australia only has 22 million people. That's the entire country. That's less people than Greater New York. So statistically, it's easier to wake up the country of Australia than it is to wake up one city in the United States. And if we can wake up Australia, then we've got a whole country making a statement on the global stage. And that could send a shockwave that would go right around the planet and empower the entire planet. And I believe we have the ability to pull it off if I can just get enough help to wake up Australia. So the show, I was calling for everybody to download this DVD, download from expendable.tv, burn it to disc, give it out to everybody you can, just flood the place with this DVD. Get it into the hands of every Australian that you can. And if you live overseas, download a copy and burn it and send it to your councillors and your government officials. Send it to the UN. Send it to everybody. Send it to the Queen's Council. Send it to the Queen of England. Send it to everybody. Just flood the world with this information, because it shows the corruption of this government. And if we can bring down this government by their own means, then we can possibly change the direction that this planet's going in. I really believe this.
Well, Max, I've got to say, you know, walking around, talking to people, it seems like most people are aware of what's going on. The problem is that they don't care. And getting them
they don't care enough to do anything about
it. Right. Yeah, exactly. So what kind of course of action can people take?
Well, you know, I mean, we've got a constitution that enables us to hold our government accountable. So that's what we can do. The thing about Australians is that, I mean, they're pretty doped down and fluorided out and messed up on their televisions and alpha waves and all the electromagnetic bombardment that everybody gets. I mean, you know, it's not easy to wake these people up. But Australians are pretty staunch people. If they can, they're always going to bat for the underdog. And if you can get the people in this country to see what happened to Chappelle Corby for what it is, they will get their blood up. They will be really annoyed with their government. And, you know, Australians, when they get annoyed, they get their back up and they want to go into bat for the underdog. They really, you know, these guys are some of the best soldiers in the world. Look at all the Anzacs and all this sort of stuff. You know, these are really staunch people that are very caring people as well. But they've been dulled into this apathetic state by their government. But something like this Chappelle Corby issue, this could be what will get them fired up. That's why, I mean, I think it's hard generally in a place like the United States and even across Europe. Your cities are so big, there's so many people, there's so much going on. But over here we've got this laid-back Australian culture. We've been gifted now with information that exposes an issue that is dear to the hearts of every single Australian. There would not be one person in this country that does not know the name Chappelle Corby. And now we can prove that this woman was falsely imprisoned, not only due to the act, to the government withholding information, but due to the government ensuring that she was imprisoned.
Well, for the listeners that haven't seen the DVD, what exactly happened to her?
Well, she just went for a holiday in Bali in 2004. And when she got there, they found 4.2 kilograms of cannabis in her bag. And she said it wasn't hers. I mean, and this is like $40,000 worth of cannabis. This
yeah, I was about to say, that's a lot of weed.
That's a lot of weed. But the thing is, you'd pay $40,000 for it here, but you'd buy the same thing in Bali for $5,000.
Right.
So what was the point of smuggling it in there? You know, there was no point in smuggling it in there. And you take drugs to a country like Indonesia, I mean, you get 20 years jail or you get your head cut off.
Sounds like they were trying to get her in a prison where she had no hope of escape and could possibly die.
Well, they wanted to die. They absolutely wanted to die. They've just left her in there to rot. They'd be quite happy if she died because then it's just case closed, wash your hands of it, and it'll all go away. Yeah, and there's no recourse. But what it would appear happened was there was a drug smuggling ring that operates through Australian domestic airports, and drugs were being smuggled from Brisbane to Sydney, but whoever was smuggling them, which would have been the baggage handlers, and they'd been caught. They were being investigated for all this at the time anyway, even though it was denied by the police. But it would have been being smuggled. You know, they just put it into a boogie board bag, put it on the plane, send it down to Sydney. Someone takes it out of the bag, sends it off to their local dealer. But someone forgot to take it out of the boogie board bag. And so it got loaded on the plane, and it went to Bali. And when Chappelle Corby picked up her luggage, there was 4.2 kilograms of cannabis in the luggage. And had she been found innocent, it would have exposed the corruption that's going on in with the baggage handlers at the airports.
Running drugs. An
investigation into it finds that it's all got links to the Australian Federal Police. So they're heavily involved. And the government got involved. The effort the government went to is astounding. So I think this is an opportunity for the whole world. If you know anybody out there that knows anybody in Australia, or you have any influence in Australia, or you have Australians listening to your show, or even people overseas that can put pressure on the Australian consulate to get this information into the public domain, this could essentially bring down a very, very corrupt government and a very, very corrupt system, and it could send a shockwave around the planet. Because once the corruption in this country is exposed bare for what it is, and the Australian people will wake up a little bit, and you know, it could really, really help things, I think. And so that's why I just need some help. That's why I put the radio show out there the way I did. I asked people to make it viral because I've been doing this on my own for a while in this country, and I think we're being presented with a huge opportunity with the information that's been presented in this film. And folks out there, if you listen to the film where you're going to look at it, it's cheap. It's not a Hollywood production. It's a low-budget film, but the information that it contains is absolutely brilliant information. It's really good research. It's called Expendable. You can get it from expendable.tv. And I think everybody needs to be made aware of it. I've been handing out dozens and dozens of copies around town already.
You know, we do have a lot of listeners in Australia and some good friends in Australia, including yourself, George Kavassalis, other people like that. So we'll definitely pass that around and get the word around. How can we learn in other countries from watching this DVD, and what can we do as citizens if we see something like this happening?
Well, look, it's a good thing about it is it exposes how the mechanism and the little relationship between government and police and media all works. I mean, it really showed how public opinion was swayed by the media because the media was controlled. The use of neuro-linguistic programming, bit of a tongue tie there today, NLP. It just shows how they just do this to mold public opinion and the efforts that these governments go to cover up their own actions. And when you've got this mechanism of the government, the police, and the media, you've got the whole thing sewn up. I mean, the police are just the muscle. I've been saying recently on a few of the shows, you know, what we have here is that we've got a criminal gang, which is our government, and we've got their muscle, which is the police force, and they're just a bunch of guys that are given the monopoly on violence to go out and make sure everybody else is toeing the line. But you can't ever defend yourself against them because that's assaulting a police officer.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And they say, oh, we can do this because it's the law. You know, it's the law. You know, you see, look, I wrote this down on a piece of paper that says that we can do this. And look, it's got a little fancy letterhead on it, so it must be the law. And if you don't like it, then I've got these guys over here that are going to go and put you in a cage. And you say, well, hang on, I'm going to charge you with a breach of my human rights. And I say, well, hang on, you can't do that because I also wrote on this other piece of paper that the politicians can't be touched. And look, that's got a little letterhead too. So, and we go along with this. I mean, it only exists on paper. It's just these rules these sociopaths write on pieces of paper that are designed to remove natural law from the planet and replace it with their will, which gives them the ability to steal everything they want from us. And we go along with it because we think it's real, because we've got these big uniformed thugs walking around using terrorism to enforce the will of these politicians on people. You know, and I really believe they only get away with it because we live in divided communities. That's why all of my shows have been about trying to unite the community.
We do have to have that unity in the community, and we have to get rid of the fear, too, because that's the problem. When somebody faces a police officer, the fear that goes through their mind is this guy's going to take me to jail if I don't do what he says, or he's going to shoot me. Maybe we can overcome that fear. Maybe not, though. I don't know. When I was arrested by DHS, I thought they were probably going to set me up for something, probably plant drugs on me or something. Luckily, they didn't. We'll be right back with Max Egan. Other Patriot websites as well, and then this article was sent to me by Alex from the Intel Hub. Security slackers risk internet blackout on March 8th. Companies and home users whose computers or routers are infected by the DNS changer Trojan risk being unable to access the web coming March 8th, 2012, when the FBI unplugs the legitimate DNS servers it set up to replace the rogue DNS servers that were forwarding victims to malicious sites. Now, we've done a full sweep of our site. Our site's completely clean. We signed up with SiteLock as well, and they are scanning the site on a daily basis. We reinstalled Windows on all of our computers, did complete for our deep formats on everything. Now, everybody should do this as well, or at least go to truthfrequencynews.com, click on the article. There we have a link to where you can check to see if your computer is infected. And the way you do that is by basically opening up a command prompt and going to your DNS settings. And if your settings are IP ranges between two ranges that they have posted here, then it means that your computer is being redirected to this attack site or to this attack computer. So be aware of that, definitely. I think it's very important for everybody to have a good antivirus as well, but even those are not 100% secure. But let's get back to the discussion with Max Egan, thecrowhouse.com. And Max, that's a really horrific story. I can only imagine being locked up for something that I didn't do. But you know, like I said before the break, the fear is the problem. But we can conquer that fear, but these people still have the guns, and they can still, just like you just mentioned, they can set you up and put you away forever. So what can we do?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's got to be public awareness. See, that's where all the fear comes from, because as you said, you know, when you had your run-in with the police, it was quite fearful, and they could do whatever. I mean, they can because they can. That's why they do it, because they can. You know, because they have the monopoly on violence. They can do anything they want, lock you up and do whatever you want. You know, and just say, oh, he did it to himself. And everyone will believe them because they've got a uniform on. So they just get away with everything, and they know exactly how far they can go before they will cause an investigation into themselves. So we need to have a united community. And what I see this information as being, I mean, it has the potential to unite the entire Australian community. Because you look at this film, Expendable, and you see what was actually done to this girl. And this could be Cherie. This could be Cherie who went for a holiday to Bali, came by Australia to see me on the way, caught a flight from Brisbane to Sydney, went to Bali, and then now she's been in jail there for the last 7 years. That simple. Could be anybody. Any tourist that comes to this country, anybody. Could be you, could be me. Suddenly you're free and suddenly you're in jail for nothing that you've done.
Right.
Now there are so many people that this has happened to. There are so many people that are wrongly incarcerated. But we've never been able to lay the workings bare. But we can see now the efforts that the people went to make sure this woman was incarcerated. I mean, this could be instrumental in getting a lot of people released from jail. This could be instrumental in causing scrutiny into the methods of all governments. It could just wake people up to how controlled the media and the police and the governments are and how much they work together to mold public opinion. Because when you see it all laid out bare, you go, well, wow, I wonder what they're telling me on this other station here. I wonder what really happened. You know, it causes people to question their media. It might be something that we can use to reach the sheeple, basically. I don't like to call people sheeple, but, you know, to reach the sleepers, to awaken the sleepers. And because we have such a low population in this country, we have the potential to wake a whole country with this, because it's an issue that everybody already knows, and it's near to the hearts of everybody. Once we wake up Australia, and Australia makes a statement on the global stage, I think we could accomplish some great things. I really do.
This goes right back to the whole war on drugs. I didn't mean to cut you off, but this goes back to the whole war on drugs, because if we abolish all of those laws, we wouldn't have this situation to begin with. And it all goes back to UN resolution, to where all these countries signed to make these drugs illegal. Whether they want to or not, they signed the UN resolution. And go ahead, Sheree.
Oh, I was just going to ask, how did the national media portray this woman? I'm sure they portrayed her as this drug addicted person.
They lied about everything, and public opinion, when the case first went to trial, when she first got done and she was there in jail in Bali, public opinion was 91% of Australia said, oh, she's innocent, absolutely innocent. And so the media went to work to change the public perception and ensure that she was portrayed as a druggie, and they tried to gather up dirt on her father and her family. They've always portrayed them as druggies and rah, rah, rah. And it was all found out to be false. But there was just the suspicion. They just planted the suspicion in people's minds. And they took about 3 or 4 months, and they gradually molded the public opinion, and they turned everybody against her. And then they made statements at certain times when certain aspects of the case were being looked at by the judges in Indonesia. The Australian government would release certain political statements, like the head of the AFP would go out and make a particular statement, which didn't really have any bearing on the case or anything, but it made a lot of political sense to make this statement, because it insinuated that she was guilty, and the Australian government knew it, and they'd kind of given up on her, and they were leaving her there to the mercy of the Indonesian court.
Do you have a hungry duck back there?
Yeah, birds. Crows in the yard, mate. Actually, it's a crow.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's the crow house.
There you go.
It's the crow house.
do you feed the crows and welcome them?
No, I don't feed them, but there's always one that seems to come and visit me. It's weird. A lot of people know when I'm coming to visit them, because they say, oh, the crows were going off in the yard, so we knew you were coming. It's really strange. When we were doing our trip across the country, and we were in Broome, we were off camping places on the way over there, and we get to a fork in the road, and we'd be going, we don't know which way to go, and there'd be a crow sitting on the post, and he'd fly off down one way, and they go, oh, it must be that way, And then when I wasn't with them, they wouldn't see any crows. It's really strange. It must be my totem or something, I don't know.
Was this happening before you decided to go with the name The Crow House?
Well, I hadn't really noticed. I couldn't tell you, but it certainly happens a lot now.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break the conversation. I heard that in the background, and I thought that's pretty odd.
Well, we know from that show, Locked Up Abroad, it started about 2004-ish, and I remember watching that and thinking, oh my God, all these people just completely walked into getting caught running drugs. Why would they even agree to run drugs in the first place? And then you brought up an interesting point. Wasn't there another case of a bunch of kids that a police officer planted drugs on?
Well, I've heard through an insider that the Bali Nine, the nine people who were caught smuggling heroin through Bali back to Australia. I mean, and again, why on earth would you be smuggling heroin from Thailand to Australia through Bali? If you get caught with this stuff in Bali, you get shot, you get executed.
Exactly.
I mean, if you can get flights straight from Thailand to Australia, if you're going to be stupid enough to put a belt around your waist that's packed full of heroin, you can at least fly straight back to Australia, so you're not going to a Balinese jail. I mean,
yeah, it didn't make any sense to me, especially a lot of the stories. It seemed like they got in trouble halfway through the trip and suddenly had to shuttle drugs for someone. You know, as if they went and they were like, oh, this is great, we're having a great time, hey, let's run some drugs. You know, that doesn't even happen.
Well, it's kind of weird. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I can't prove it. You know, it's only hearsay. But I've heard that there's an insider who has said that it was the whole thing was a sting operation by the Australian Federal Police. But like I said, I can't prove it. It's speculation. I'm not saying that's what happened.
Well, you know, Judge Napolitano recently came out and said that every terrorist plot here, there's been three that were stifled by civilians, and the other 17 were stifled by the FBI, and they turned out to be sting operations that they initiated.
Created by the FBI.
Right, and then Fox News turns around and pulls Napolitano's show.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I heard that he got pulled. Getting a little bit too close to the truth, you know?
Right, exactly.
So all of this stuff stays. You see, we don't have all of this crime that they tell us about. And we have a few drunken kids that get out because they create these nightclubs, they sell cheap alcohol, and they promote this lifestyle to the kids. So they go out and do that so they can say, oh, look at all the violent crime on the streets at night. And then they go out and they stage all the big stuff because then that is a way of giving themselves more power, you know, problem, reaction, solution, every single time. It always is. Even the problem of the drunks on the streets, it's created by the government because they promote that. They promote that type of lifestyle. All the high school kid films that you see, you know, party at the end of high school, you know. What do? At the end of high school, you're going to get completely blind, drunk, and have as much sex as possible.
Well, of course. They send syntax errors to the brain is what I call them. You're raised when you're 13, 14, your hormones start to come out, and you're told that sex is the worst thing in the world. And then you're told that drugs are bad, and then also shown that you're supposed to go out and party at the same time. It's syntax errors to confuse the brain. We'll be right back, ladies
and
gentlemen, with Max Egan.
And
we will
USA.org.
Pick it up on this final segment. And we have Wayne in Florida, who's been holding since the beginning of the show. I don't know if he's got a comment or if he's just listening. Let's check in and see. Wayne, anything on your mind tonight? Nope, looks like he's just listening. So,
this reminds me of the Lockerbie scandal with all the drug running, and I'm willing to bet that there was some kind of CIA or Australian intelligence involvement in this, because where there's intelligence agencies and where there's drug running, you usually find the other. And it's amazing to me that she's been in prison for 7 years when a tiny piece of information like the fact that the weights didn't add up could have sent her home.
Yeah, absolutely. It's shocking. It's unbelievable. And the thing is, I mean, the effort that the government went to and that the police went to ensure that she was convicted is an imputation of guilt on their own part. I don't have to point a finger at them because they pointed it to themselves through their non-cooperation and their outright, obstinance and some of the disinformation they put out there. I mean, if you've got nothing to hide, then you don't have any reason to lie. So they implicate themselves by their own actions. That's the thing that most people should see. I mean, if you've got a working brain, this is what you should see. I mean, this is absolutely obvious.
Max, do you have any thoughts on the strange sounds that we're hearing all over the world? People are asking you to ask you that.
Look, I don't really know. I haven't heard any myself. So I don't really have much to say about it. I mean, it could be contrived. It's just another rabbit hole to go down, really, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's another distraction. There's so many distractions around us. And if there's some here, then I will be most interested in them, I'm sure. But I don't know. I haven't really been thinking about them, to be honest.
What do you think about what's going on in the Middle East right now? The United States planning to attack Syria and ultimately set up all their pieces so they can attack Iran.
Oh, look, it's bound to happen if we don't stop it, if we don't make some sort of noise and reinstate natural law on this planet, then it's bound to happen. And, you know, the whole absurdity of the whole thing as well. I mentioned this a couple of shows ago as well, that, you know, the United States is saying, oh, weapons of mass destruction, nuclear power. And yet the United States goes in there with depleted uranium weaponry, which is a weapon of mass destruction. It goes on killing indiscriminately for millions upon millions of years into the future and permanently pollutes all the areas that it goes into. But, I mean, this whole blaming the United States and blaming America thing isn't really right either, because it's a global cartel. America is simply the military arm of the cartel. The whole thing, you know, Vatican, England, Australia, New Zealand, I mean, it's
France,
all
UK.
Yeah, it's all one thing. Yeah. It's all one thing. I mean, the global government is virtually already here. It just hasn't sort of, well, it's a global corporation, but it just hasn't sort of amalgamated all the little regional stores yet, which is what it's trying to do. You know, if you can think of it that way, it's just like a big version of Walmart, you know what I mean? It's gradually eating up the town, you know, in, which is the planet in this case. But that's kind of what's going on. So it isn't really that America's doing all this bad stuff. It's the global system that's doing it. America is simply the military arm of that system.
Well, Clinton even told on herself a few days ago. She said that the CFR essentially was the one making the decisions about whether or not to go into Syria.
Oh, and they always had been.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that all roads lead to the CFR on this one.
Oh, yeah, well, the Council on Foreign Relations, they've been there for years, same
members.
They're
global. They're a globalist.
Exactly, and nobody votes them in, but all the governments answer to them. What's going on with that? You know, if we live in this open democracy, what are organizations like the CFR doing there? Trilateral Commission? I mean, well, why do these organizations exist if this is an open democracy?
She called them our representatives in New York.
Yep, our representatives in New York.
As if, like, there are new Washington, D.C. elected officials. It is the CFR in New York.
Oh, my God.
They're not even hiding it anymore.
They're not even hiding it.
This is the same woman, though, that was before Congress saying that they need more money for propaganda because the propaganda isn't working. She used that word, propaganda.
Yeah. The psychopathic section of consciousness doesn't hold sway at the moment, folks, so we need our representatives for this psychopathic section, and we call them the CFR.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the reason for that is the energy shift that's happening right now. It's affecting them like it's affecting us, too. But because they're vibrating at such a low frequency, they can't handle it.
It's driving them crazy.
And it's driving them crazy. They can't keep their facts straight, or their lies straight, I should say. And everything's starting to crumble.
Oh yeah, I'm just pinging off the walls. I'm just feeling so empowered. I really am. And that's the thing as well with this Chappelle Corby case, because, you know, everyone's waiting for this shift in global consciousness. They're waiting for this shift, this ascension. But you've got to participate in the reality around you. I've always said to people, when the shift comes, it will be something you have to participate in. And now we're being given the tools that we can use to do so. We can blow the lid on this whole corrupt system with this case, because I'm sure a lot of people around the world even know about Chappelle Corby. When she was found guilty, there were global protests about the trial. Like, the whole world knows the name. So we can use this to blow the lid off the entire corrupt system. We can expose how the police and the media and the governments all work hand in hand to steal everything they can from us and to control all of our society. And we can, for the first time in human history, create some freedom and some liberty for the human spirit, because we've never had that. We've never had that in the history of our civilization. The only free races that have ever been have been the tribal cultures, the people that we went and stomped on in the forest. You know, these type of free native tribal cultures are actually free. They're actually free to be all that they can be, and they don't need technology. I don't have anything against technology. It's great. Let's use it, but let's have something that benefits mankind, and let's have a free humanity that operates to the fullest of its potential. Because the only thing that stops us doing so is our governments. And here we are now in 2012, when this big shift is supposed to happen. We're being gifted with information that exposes a case that should be dear to almost everybody's hearts. It's happening in a country where we have a small enough population to be able to wake up an entire country and thereby bring about a global change. And that's what I see, and that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I think this case offers for us all.
We really need that example. I assume these movies are all on thecrowhouse.com, so when people go to thecrowhouse.com, how do they find these films?
Well, if you go to the Crow House, you'll see Expendable right there on the homepage, and you'll see a banner to the Expendable Project, Expendable.tv, the political sacrifice of Chappelle Corby. You can go there, you can stream it from that site, or you can stream it from my site. You can go and watch it on YouTube, use something like Downloader Helper in Firefox and download a copy from YouTube and convert it to DVD, give it out to people. Just get it out to whoever you can, as many people as you can. If you go to expendable.tv, they've got all the documentation there that backs up everything that they said in the film. And as I said, look, remember, this is a low-budget film. I've had people saying, oh, this is cheap, I can't watch this. And I go, well, no, just bear with it for a few minutes, because it's not about the production, it's about the information that it contains.
Right.
And, you know, it just lays the system bare. And in this little country, and it's, I believe it, like I said, it's a case that's that's dear to everybody's heart. So this is a great tool that we've been provided with to help open up this consciousness.
And any updates on the film that you're working on?
Well, I've had some enormous software problems, actually. I finally got right back in the zone, and then I had some terrible software problems, and it knocked me back for about a week. So now I'm a few weeks behind again. And then I've had all this Chappelle Corby stuff, and it's really got my focus at the moment. I'm actually even considering releasing the film in two parts, because I've got parts one and two completely finished. I could release them now. But it's whether people want to wait for the rest of it or whether I should release it in two parts. I mean, I released The Awakening in two parts. I released part one, and then I released part two and three a year later, you know?
I think you should do that.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
The information is so important.
Well, I've got all this other stuff going on, and I want to make another film now, and I want to incorporate basically about the dark secrets in Australia. I want to incorporate the Port Arthur massacre and the Bali bombing and the Chappelle Corby case, because I believe they're all interconnected. And with the information I'm a bit of a tongue-tied this afternoon. There's so much going on in my mind. But with what we've been provided in that film, we have the weapons now that we can use to bring this government to accountability. So it's a good time to put out something like that as well. So that's causing me to think about delaying the release of Transformation as well.
Definitely, Max. We really appreciate it. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. TheCrowHouse.com. Check it out.
Science.